Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139. There's actually, and I'm not going to really reference this because it's kind of hard to parallel it, but if you go to Ezekiel chapter 1, I was actually studying in Ezekiel to start our work through Ezekiel, and Ezekiel, it has this weird, Ezekiel's to me is kind of a hard book to understand in some ways. You really got to take your time and try to visualize what Ezekiel is trying to see, but it's talking about some wheels, and it really doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about this morning, but we are going to talk about some wheels this morning. But in Psalms chapter 139, and we're going to read part of this, and we're just kind of going to skip down. Most of you, we've read this before. I love this chapter in the Bible, and we're going to skip down through here and read some. And then I want to talk to you this morning about understanding the wheel of life. Understanding the wheel of life. And this will kind of, I'll correlate this to some stuff that went on earlier a couple weeks ago. So, but let's pray this morning and we'll get started. Look, Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the folks that are so faithful in coming to your house. And God, I thank you for them. I pray that you just bless them and help them. Lord, there's some here are not here that due to health reasons and other situations. Lord, I was communicating with a man this morning about coming to church, and Lord, just so many things, so many cares of life, Father, that are so easy to distract us and to take us away from you. Lord, I pray that those that aren't even here in Sunday school, that maybe they would make up their mind to come to church this morning. Lord, I do thank you once again for the faithful folks that are here and the ones that have built this church, Lord, and I thank you for them. Pray that you'd bless them and help them. Help all the fathers. Lord, help them to have a great Father's Day. And Lord, thank you for my dad, and thank you for all he's done in my life and the influence that he's had in raising me. Lord, thank you for him. Lord, thank you for being our heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all that you do for us. And help us this morning. Guide my words. Guide my thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I think probably most people in here are fathers. So thank you. Thank you for your influence on the next generation. I want, you know, my dad, you know, I can't thank him enough for everything he's done for me. And so thank you, fathers. But Psalm chapter 139, I'm not really going to talk about fathers today, unless I think of something. But Psalm chapter 139, Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Verse number 2 is basically where we're going to take our text, I guess, if you would. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Verse number 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. So David here is talking, he's basically writing this psalm, and he says, God, you know when I'm on the top, and you know when I'm on the bottom. You know when I'm doing good, and you know when I'm doing bad. And that's true about God. God knows everything about us. And then you see here that David basically in this chapter, Psalms 139, he very much goes through and he says, God, you know when I'm doing good and you know when I'm doing bad. And that's kind of what Psalms 139 is. For verse number 4, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. So there again, you know when I'm up here and you know when I'm back here. All right. Such knowledge, and lay thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And we can keep going down through the end of the chapter. But you see here where David is saying, God, you know when I'm good And you know the bad times of life. You're with me when the times are good. You're with me when the times are bad. And I want to talk about this understanding the wheel of life. For Bible school, we had this thing. We had this thing built out here. For those of you that were not here for Bible school, the contraption that was sitting out in the yard out there, and part of it's still out there just because I haven't had my tractor over here to pick it up. But what we did is we strapped people to those wheels, and the kids were throwing water balloons at them. So we were spinning them on these wheels, and they're strapped to the wheel, okay? And we're spinning them. We had two guys, one on each. It's a truck rear differential. And we had one on each side, and as we spun them, they're strapped to it, and the kids are throwing water balloons at them. Where we come up with this stuff, you don't even want to know, okay? But that's what they're doing. They're spinning on these wheels, okay? Now, me and my dad were trying it out because I wanted to make sure. You know, it's kind of one of the things, you have a theory that I think this will work, but you're not for sure that it will work. You know what I mean? So we were trying it out the first time, and I was like, all right, I'm going to strap myself. So I strapped myself to it. And the only problem, you know, with a truck differential, this is actually a limited slip differential. So, but you'd have to spin it pretty fast for the limited slip to actually lock in. But for the truck differential, you know, if one side's got more load, then the other side's just going to spin free, right? So we tried it with one person on it, and it really didn't work very well without holding the other end. But we only had two people. Me and Dad were working on it. So I was like, well, let me see if I can just spin it by my body weight, okay? So, and in theory, you can do it, in theory, okay? And there's a lot of things in theory that you can do that in practicality are a lot harder than what they seem. So I'm like, okay, so I started rocking a little bit. And it's a balance thing, because you go over center and you go over center. So you're balancing, and so I was like, okay, I need to start rocking. So I started rocking, and then I'm like, all right, I'm going to try to make it all the way around, all right, spin all the way, just by me using my body weight. So I did, and I was, you know, I'm tied to this board, basically. So I throw my body weight, and I spin around, all the way around. And when you get to the bottom of the arc, you almost have to throw your body weight the other way to complete the revolution. Otherwise, which I'll get to that in a minute, you're stuck upside down, okay? Because my torso is heavier than my legs, so it kind of... But the problem is I can get from top to the bottom, but once I got on the bottom, I couldn't get from the bottom back to the top because it's physics, gravity, okay? And I just couldn't do it. So we're spinning there, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this again. So I spin again, and I didn't have enough momentum. So I spin around, and I'm upside down. And I come like halfway back up, and then there's this like sinking feeling, literally. And you're like, back down to the bottom, okay? And I got to thinking about this last week. That's the reason I kind of prepared this for last week. You know, when you're on that wheel, and we all, if you would, and I'm going to illustrate this morning, you're on kind of a wheel of life. And pastors referenced this recently. You've got up times, and you've got down times. You've got times when everything is going really good in life, and then you've got the times when everything is not going good, okay? And we all go through that, and there's always those times in our life. And you know, David even said, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising, all right? And he's talking about, you know, when the times when I sit, and you know the times when I stand. But there's also that time that you could say, God, you know there's the times when I'm right with you, and God, there's the times when I'm farther away from you than I should be, okay? And we all have those times. I have those times, okay? There are times in life, it's just like, you know, it's hard to get up and read your Bible. It's hard to do those things that you know you're supposed to be doing, but it's just like, it's just not there, okay? Well, you know, the thing that makes the things that make the mountaintops so rewarding isn't the fact that you go from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop. The things that make the mountaintop so rewarding is the fact that you have to go through the valleys. Okay? What's the saying? You don't appreciate something until it's gone. That's true. You don't appreciate something until it's gone. And that's, you know, I think God sends us through times in our lives when Yeah, you go through a valley. You go through, you say, Brother Chad, there were times in my life when I was physically in better condition, you know, as far as my health than I am right now. Okay? You know what that makes you grateful for? You know, the ones that some of you, honestly, you struggle in the mornings. Sometimes you have a bad morning and just like it's a struggle just to get out of bed. And it's a struggle just to do the normal things of life. But you know what? It makes the days when you're feeling better, doesn't it make those days, you appreciate those days a little bit more? Okay? So there's those things in life. And I'm going to show you some things here in Psalms particularly, and then we're going to go to Daniel. But some things about understanding the wheel of life. So I brought a wheel this morning, a tire, and I want to show you some principles, okay? The first two are very, very simple, okay? Very simple, and it's basically I'm just making statements here, okay? I brought this wheel, and I got. Can you see that I drew an arrow on the top, okay? So I brought this wheel, and you know, sometimes in life, sometimes you're on top. Everything's going good. You know, you've got enough money to pay your bills, all that stuff that's nice, okay? And so sometimes you're on top, and that's a great place to be. But here's the thing, and this is probably actually my third point, and I'm going to tie all three of these together, so just kind of bear with me. But, you know, I think David understood this. David understood that, yeah, I am on top, and it's nice being on top. I think nobody in here is going to complain when you're on top, okay? When I was out there on the wheel, it was kind of nice standing in a normal position where all the blood's not draining to your head, okay? It's kind of nice to do that, all right? And it is nice being on top. It's nice when everything goes good. It's nice when your health is good, okay? So we could say, all right, this is life when it's on top, all right? And, you know, the thing is everybody kind of wants to stay here, don't you? I don't know anybody that wants to go into a valley. I don't know anybody that wants to be on the bottom, okay? Now, I think everybody in here has been there before. You know, it could be a marriage, it could be children, it could be your health, it could be whatever. And everybody's going to be on the top at some point. But you know what? Everybody's also going to have these times in life when you're on the bottom. When you've lost somebody or you've lost something that's very dear to you, or you know marriage isn't the way that you hoped it would be, or the kids aren't doing what you want them to do, you're going to have times, and I'm going to have times. You know, you're going to have times when work is not there the way you need it to be, when the money's not coming in and the bills are adding up, and it's just frustrating because you're on the bottom, okay? You know, the thing about being on the bottom is sometimes you got to get help. My dad was out there with me, and I'm glad he was, because it would have been a hard fall. I mean, I could have got out of my straps, but that means I would have fell on my head when I got out of my straps. But my dad was out there, and you know what he did? He helped turn me back up to the top. And you know what? That's what fellowship does. That's what having good counselors, like our pastor does that a lot. You know what he does? He goes to the people that are on the bottom and he says, here, let me help you get this thing turned around and get back on top. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Everybody wants to be on top. Nobody really think, I don't think you want to be on bottom. But the problem is if because it is a wheel, and we all go through this. It's a thing of life that we're going to go in the ups and the downs and the ups and the downs. But because you're on the bottom or because you're on the top, here's the thing. Well, Brother Chad, I just want to stay right here. Okay, now look at this. If this arrow stays on the top, right here like this, can this tire ever roll to this corner over here?
No, sir.
No. You know, to make progress in the Christian life, you've got to have the tops and the bottoms, but that's the way to make progress. You know how God brings us close? Okay, maybe I'm just this way. My walk with God is better when everything's not right. My prayer time is better when I've got more bills than I've got money. Isn't yours? God, you know, when you've got money sitting in the bank and you're okay, it's easy to say, well, Lord, thank you for this food. You know, the generic prayers that we all, you know, bless this, bless that. But when you're on the bottom and there is nothing there, that's when we go to God and say, God, I need you. God, I got to have your help. I don't know how this is going to work. You know, there's a lot of things in life that I'm not comfortable doing. This, I'm not comfortable doing. Preaching, I'm not comfortable being in front of, I'm not comfortable talking to people. I just don't like talking to people most of the time. I don't, unless it's about ideas and stuff, I can talk about that, but it's not my comfort zone. You know what I have to do? I got to realize, okay, that for me, in a way, that's a bottom thing in my life. So I have to go to God and say, God, I need your help in this. Just like I said, I'm out there in the wheel. I'm flipped upside down. I said, I tried. In fact, if you saw my, it was a real redneck way of strapping people. We just ran ratchet straps crossways on their chest. Okay, that was our method of strapping people, okay? Pretty redneck. But my shoulder, you could ask my wife, my shoulder right here on this side, because I was throwing my body weight that direction, it was black, my whole shoulder was, from bruising. I bruised my shoulder. Why? Because I was trying. I did my best. I thought, well, I can break the laws of gravity. Pfft, not. I couldn't do it. I tried. Okay? I tried to flip back around once I was on the bottom. But you know what I ended up doing? I had to say, Dad, can you help me? Can you help flip me back over? And you know what he did? He came over. And it was easy for him. He helped flip me back over to the top spot. Okay? But you know, in life, sometimes you've got those times, it's like, bro, Chad, I feel like I'm on the bottom. Well, sometimes you're going to have to ask for help. So, you know, sometimes you're going to have to go, and that's when God, in my life, that's the times that God has been closer to me than other times, is when I'm on the bottom. Because when I'm on top, I don't need help. When I'm on top, I can balance myself by shifting my body weight. But when I get on the bottom, those are the times that I got to say, hey, I'm looking up. Do you ever think about that too? When you're on the bottom and your head's by the ground, the only place you can really look is up. So it's the wheel of life. If you look at we read Psalms chapter 139. I want you to look at the first verse of Psalms 140. Look at the first verse of Psalms 140. Well, we may read a few here. Look at the first verse, though. Bible says, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. Look at verse number 4. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Psalm chapter 140. This, if you would, and we're going to look at something. I'm just going to go through these psalms real fast. Because we got several here all in a row, okay? But this is one of them, if you would. This is one of those down times of David. David says, God, these people are trying to kill me. The wicked man is out to get me. But you know what? Who is he addressing at this point? God. Look at verse number 6. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications. All right. So we see here in Psalms chapter 139, David basically says, God, you know when I'm up here and you know when I'm down here. And then in Psalms chapter 140, he says, all right, God, I'm down here. I need your help. All right. Go to Psalms chapter number 141. Verse number 1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. All right, so we hear again, David is once again saying, God, I need your help. I don't know the circumstances necessarily right here, but he said, God, I need your help. Look at Psalms chapter 142, verse number 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked had they privily laid a snare for me. You know, here again, it's another psalm. David's on the bottom. You know where David is when he's writing this psalm? If you look on your Scofield, Bible says a prayer when he was in the cave. He is laying in this cave, and Saul, remember the story? Saul comes into the mouth of the cave. The man that's trying to hunt him down and to kill him, he comes in the mouth of the cave. And David's like, oh, I'm trapped. I am stuck right here. And then he prays this prayer. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. So you know what this is? It's another down psalm. Another down psalm for David. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. Look at verse 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. The beginning of this psalm, it talks about David is like, God, here again, once again, folks, he's at the bottom. God, I need your help. I'm at the bottom and I'm looking up and I need your help right now. All right? But look at chapter 144. Actually, we could go back to verse number 5 in chapter 143, but we'll just skip down. Look at verse number 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Do you see the change in attitude at this point? He went from, God, I need your help, to God, thank you for helping me. God, you're the one that taught my hands. I don't know what transpired between 143, and even if these are in order, if you know what I mean. But I don't know what transpired between 143 and 144. But in 144 and 143 and 142, David says, God, I'm down here. I need your help. And then in 144, he said, God, I'm up here. Thank you for helping me. Okay? So we see this in the life of David. If you go to Psalms chapter 145, he's on the upward journey here. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Chapter 146, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Okay? Chapter 147, praise ye the Lord. Chapter 148, praise ye the Lord. Chapter 149, praise ye the Lord. Chapter 150, praise ye the Lord. Okay? So there, I think you would all go back to chapters, you know, the chapters 140, chapters 141, chapters 142, chapter 143, and you say, David is asking God. He's saying, God, I need your help. I'm on the downside right now. But then, from then on through the rest of the book of Psalms, it's praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay? And I'm just saying this because I know me. It's harder for me to praise the Lord when I'm on the bottom than when I'm on the top. So I'm going to say that David's probably on the top side right now. Everything's going better for David, okay? And you see that you see that in the book of Psalms, David's life. And you know, that's why Psalms, honestly, folks, if you're struggling with stuff that's going on in life, and you're kind of on the downside, you're depressed, you're whatever, Psalms is the book to go to. Because you see in the book of Psalms a very human side of a person. You see the good days, you see the bad days. You see the days when he struggles. You go to Psalms chapter 52 and Psalms chapter, I think it's 52, or 51 and 32. I can't remember. I got those mixed up maybe. But you see after he committed sin with Bathsheba. Okay, that was a downside in David's life. All right? So we see that. I want you to take you to Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter number 4.
If that's the right. Yes, I was in Daniel chapter 1. I was like, that's not right. Something's not right here.
Daniel chapter number 4. There's I don't know, ever since I've gone through some of the minor prophets, this man has really fascinated me. The man Nebuchadnezzar. He's an interesting individual, very interesting. Honestly, you say, Brother Chad, what do you think about Nebuchadnezzar and his belief in God? Will he be? I'm willing to say that Nebuchadnezzar will probably be in heaven when we get there. Now, I could be. That's Brother Chad's personal opinion. I don't know. You say, Brother, he was a heathen king and he captivated, you know, the children of Israel. Yes, but there's also a spot in the Bible where the Bible calls him a servant of God.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And we're going to see some stuff here. But, you know, some of the reasons that God puts us, God allows us, and like I said, where do you look when you're on the bottom? You look up. And, you know, we're going to see here a time in Nebuchadnezzar's life when God said, Nebuchadnezzar was here, okay? And he got proud right here. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I was out there, we was doing the wheel thing, and, you know, I'm fairly physically fit for most activities I'm involved in. Not that well. I can probably, and this is probably the second time that I got flipped upside down, okay, and I was stuck. Not that well. I can, but here's what it was. I was like, I'm just going to go over. I didn't try throwing my body weight. I'm just going to flip upside down. And then I think I can flip myself back up. You know what that was? Pride. I think I can do this. So I flipped myself. And you know what I found out? I couldn't do it. And you know where that put me? Looking up. Okay? We see here in Daniel chapter number 4. Look at verse number 24. This is the vision Nebuchadnezzar has. Verse number 24 is the interpretation. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from the men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All right? And all this came, verse 28, and all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And listen to what the king says. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? So that's Nebuchadnezzar in the top position, okay? He says, look at all this stuff I've done. Look at how good I am. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, Now, listen, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking right here. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. You know why he had to lift up his eyes to heaven? Because Nebuchadnezzar is at the bottom of the bottom. He's at the bottom. Lift up my eyes, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and that he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Goes from the top to the bottom, and he gets to the bottom and says, God, I need your help. I screwed up. And you know what God did to him? All right, here you go. Put you back up on top. Isn't that way our life? I know it is in my life. That's the way my life is. You know, when I get far away from God, God brings something to my life that says, all right, you're not trusting me right now. Here you go. And flips me over. My world is spinning and it's upside down. And then I get on my knees and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this. You know why the world is what most of the time the world is? Is because they get on the bottom. Yeah, you know, the commercials for alcohol show the top. The commercials for, you know, the cigarettes and all that junk and, you know, the lifestyle and the TV programs that promote the, you know, the sensual living, all it shows is this. They don't show when everybody's on the bottom because they couldn't sell their stuff. They don't show that. And this is where most people come in, oh yeah, this is great. And then they get down here. They get to the bottom. We had a guy come in. Most of you probably remember we had a special speaker in our youth Sunday school class. And you know what he did? He basically came in and said, all right, this is what the world shows you about the way to live life. This is what happens as a result of it. But you know what he then said? He said, but God can turn it back around and get you back on top. Now remember what I said. I believe that Nebuchadnezzar in verse number 37, if you would go back a couple chapters in Daniel, you'll see where Nebuchadnezzar, where the boys with the fiery furnace, let me see if I can find the verse real quick. The boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, look at verse number 25. Look at verse number 25. He answered and said, lo, this is Nebuchadnezzar. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Isn't that interesting? He recognized God. But he recognized God in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? So he recognized them. And then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. all right, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You know what this is Nebuchadnezzar is looking in this fire and he sees these boys and he thought, that's a pretty cool trick. All right, your guy's God is a really powerful God. Your Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you have something special that none of these other gods have. But whose God was it still at that point? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what I think the difference here is? God, Nebuchadnezzar saw the ups and the downs in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, that's a pretty cool trick. I've never seen that before. But then when God said, all right, Nebuchadnezzar, here's your turn, and he puts him on the bottom. Look, if you go back to chapter 4, verse 37, look what he says here. Now what? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. You know what God's doing? God is taking Nebuchadnezzar on a trip of ups and downs to finally bring him to the spot where he has to look up. And then God brings him back and says, all right, here, I'll set you back on top. But you had to look from the bottom up. You know what's going to happen? Folks in here have all been in your ups and downs. But you know your kids or your grandkids, they got to go through that cycle too. Because they can't look at your God and say, well, that's the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the God of mom and dad. Your kids are going to go, and you got to understand that. I have to understand. I had to go through things. I couldn't just say, well, it's my dad's God. It had to be my God. But you know what God had to do? He had to take me through this wheel of life until times. And I could honestly probably say it was probably when I broke my pelvis. Was probably the time that, okay, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And there's been other things, but that was probably one of the biggest things. Okay? So understanding that wheel of life. When you're on your bottom, you say, Brother Chad, I'm on the bottom right now. Well, when you're at your bottom, what do you have to do? Look up. Look up. So when you get to that spot, and we all do, look back up. And he'll be there to help turn you back around. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson. Thank you for this simple, simple truth. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn to not get frustrated when we get in the upside down position, but just to look up and look for help. Lord, thank you for the times when we are up. Thank you for the good times. But Lord, also thank you for the bad times, Lord, because I do believe it draws me closer to you. And thank you for that. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.